Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 166. I am Jeff, joined as always by Chris.
Hey.
And we have a couple movies this week. We even, both of us saw the same movie for once. But before we get into our usual reviews, every once in a while we like to talk news if it's relevant to our interests. And there are a few things this week that I thought would be fun to talk about. First off, all right, so in Star Wars news, one, supposedly Disney is taking another look at doing it, like these Star Wars stories based on the like poor performance of Solo.
Yes.
So nothing. I don't think anything's really official yet. I don't know that they for sure are not doing Star Wars stories anymore. And what I mean by that are like these spin-off movies that are not main episodes, and presumably could like expand the universe and tell these other stories. Whereas like so far though, they've really just kind of filled in stuff from the main movies.
They've been like gap fillers. Yeah.
Yeah, which I think that's part of the problem with them. But anyways, what did you think when you heard about this? I'm assuming you're against them.
I've liked I've liked all of the Star Wars movies that Disney's done, but I've liked both Star Wars stories, Rogue One and Solo. I think there are bigger issues with why Solo failed at the box office, and I think it's more that they rushed another Star Wars movie out 5 months after the last one instead of, and they gave this no promotion at all. So we didn't get a trailer until the Super Bowl, I think. Like, you're talking 3 months before the movie comes out. Like, that's not really enough time to market a film, especially when, like, the other it's Star like Wars sandwiches. Movies. Yeah. Yeah. And it's like sandwiched in between like all the other summer blockbusters, including the one that everyone knew was going to be the biggest movie of the summer with, you know, Infinity War. Like, I mean, Disney did no service to Solo. But also, like, I would like there to be Star Wars movies, but maybe they don't need to be these backstory fillers. Like, give me something different. Like, give me different characters.
I agree with you.
And maybe some of the fear is that, like, hey, maybe we give you different characters and nobody fucking shows up. But take a risk, at least. Like, Solo wasn't a risk. And it didn't do anything for you, so.
Like, I'm more interested in just doing things that don't have to answer to the trilogy, or not the trilogy, the trilogies, you know what I mean?
Right.
You don't have to answer to the Skywalker stories or the main episodes, whatever you want to call them. This universe has been pretty well fleshed out at this point where you could go and explore things and do really cool shit, as well as, like, I mean, I guess there's, like, a bunch of novels and shit.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like, and I have not seen Solo yet, but like Han Solo's origin story, I don't give a fuck. Like, to me, his origin story is the first movie I saw him. Like, I don't.
But you don't need that. Back. You don't need that filled in. Like,
it's so inessential. Even Rogue One, which I liked, it's like, I guess that was cool. I liked it. But again, it's like, I'd rather just do something else in the Star Wars universe. I also think it's like kind of fucked up how we live in a world where, like, if you have one thing that's not a total success, it's just like, that's the end, everything's over. It's like,
yeah,
like, dude, first of all, most movies would love to make the amount of money Solo made. I know that, like, it's a failure for what it is, but, like, it's just so funny, like, how, like, the tide can shift like that. But yeah, I kind of actually hope it's not the end of these other ones, for at the very least your sake. And I'm totally fine with them. My main thing, and it's been my main thing all along, is like you need to space them out a little more so they're more special. But I think that was a big problem with Solo too, is like even when you finally did get the trailer, it's like it was only like a month or two after you just saw the last movie, and then you're like, okay, in the spring I get to see Solo. You know, I don't know,
Right,
it's just too
where
close.
like if it at least had come out in
Like this
December,
fall, yeah, or whatever, yeah.
yeah, like you would have been able to, you could start marketing around now. You have about 5 months to build up to it. People are over The Last Jedi. Like, I mean, maybe they're not, and we'll get to that in a second, but like for the most part, the general public is over the last movie. It's already come out. Like, that's the other thing with Solo is The Last Jedi came out on home video like 3 weeks or 4 weeks before Solo came out. So like
Yeah.
people at home like are just get like they're Star Wars out, man. Like
That was a really, I mean, I think you and I both had our issues with it, but like at the very least, that was a really interesting Star Wars, you know?
right.
But anyways, like I said, I can't really comment on Solo. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but yeah, but still on Star Wars news. There's a very funny thing I saw on Twitter today that I wasn't alone in seeing it. I think all of film Twitter and beyond saw it.
Yeah.
These fucking incel, dorkus, idiot, whatever you want to call them, people who have been like raging against these Disney Star Wars movies for, as far as I can tell, having like non-white male characters in them. They'll say that there's some sort of different reasoning behind it, but like that, as far as I could tell, that's like their main complaint is that like the white male is not the like hero, and these movies are trying to appeal to SJWs and all this fucking bullshit. They are trying to raise money to make their own a remake of Last Jedi to set things right.
Yeah, they want to redo The Last Jedi.
They're fucking serious, and they raised at least the last I heard, you know, and this is within today, like $6 million,
Jesus
which is
Christ.
kind of outrageous. I mean, that's nowhere near what you need to make a Star Wars movie.
No.
I don't understand. Like, if I were you, especially, I'd just be like, this is just making me embarrassed to be a Star Wars fan. It's like, what the fuck, man? What's wrong with you people?
It like I've had to distance myself from like YouTube, like because like if you watch a Star Wars video, all of a sudden you get like 20 right-wing recommendations, like right-wing Star Wars recommendations, and it's like, look, I just want to hear like cool Star Wars shit. I don't want to hear people bitching about how like Disney is inserting politics into a film series that has literally always been about politics. Like the prequels are literally all politics. Like it starts off with a fucking trade and
Yeah.
like it's a trade dispute. Like it is politics through and through the entire
It's about like
thing.
a corrupt, like, was it like a senator or something? Like some corrupt politician, like playing everybody's show. Like it
Right.
totally was, you know, and I think it was kind of, I think it was, I think there was like a something I saw on Twitter this week where George Lucas was kind of responding to all this shit, and he's like, no, it was always meant to have a message, and you know, like the people who are mad at the new movies are totally wrong about like what I was trying to say or whatever. Like, so,
Yeah, I feel that the people that are angry at it now, like saw it as kids and now they've grown up. Like they saw it as kids and didn't get the subtext behind it, right? It was just like a cool adventure story. And now they've grown up and they don't want to see that subtext. So, and they have these terrible backwards ass political ideas.
They don't realize they're the bad guys now.
Right. Like, you've literally the become Empire.
Yeah. Like, they, I mean, it's plain as day to me, and but, like, I've just never seen, though, like, a fandom so, I don't know, butthurt. But, like, dude,
yeah.
I did not like the Rob Zombie Halloween movies. I'm a big fan of Halloween. But I can recognize, one, his movies are shit, or whatever. I didn't like them, but so what, dude? I don't fucking write to Rob Zombie. I don't harass him. I'm not trying to raise money to remake Halloween. In fact, I can admit most of Halloween movies suck even before Rob Zombie got to them. So, like, yeah, I just don't understand it.
It's a piece of entertainment. If you don't like it, that's okay.
You know, and it's fun to talk about. It's fun to talk about why you don't like something or why you do or whatever. That's what right. We hear. But, like, dude, you don't take it to that level. Like, you need to get a life.
Yeah.
I actually got kicked off Twitter for a day for making fun of those people. I have zero regrets. I don't know. I just thought that would be a fun little thing to bring up.
One other thing with the Star Wars is there's a rumor that Disney has kind of mandated to Lucasfilm that they are no longer to take risks with their director choices. Because they don't want to end up with creative differences again, like they did with Lauren Miller with Solo, notably, but also Colin Trevorrow, who was fired from Episode 9. Before that, when he even like that, I don't even think that film has started filming yet.
Was there something with Rogue One as well?
Yeah. I'm drawing a blank on the director right now.
Like Gareth Edwards.
Yeah, Gareth Edwards, yeah. I guess the original cut that he kind of brought in was a mess, and like Lucasfilm then needed some like extra, they needed extra shots and stuff, and they brought someone in to kind of do some of the directing of that stuff on the reshoots.
I don't like that. I don't like this idea of I want you to take risks. And I think that Rian Johnson is kind of a risk, and it kind of paid off. I mean, it pissed off a lot of people, but...
Well, it also sounds like Rian Johnson like and Lucasfilm were aligned with what they wanted. Okay. I guess Disney wants them, like, when you pick a director, be aligned with
what... It's got to be right, yeah.
Yeah, like, instead of like, hey, we're going to pick Lorna Miller because they seem like, you know, they're the it people in Hollywood. They've done some really great stuff. We want to give them a shot, but then they come back and they wanted the cast to basically improv most of Solo. And at that point, like Disney was like, what the fuck? Like, which is understandable. Like if you hire somebody to do something and they turn around and are trying to do something completely different. But obviously there was communication breakdown, so
I guess I'm okay with that. But I just instinctively I'm like, take risks, do crazy things. I wanna see the Lord Miller Solo. Especially like, dude, like with the side ones, do something crazy. Do something like it doesn't all have to feel homogenized, I don't think. Like
right.
Anyways, so there's your Star Wars minute there. Like I don't know. I'm here's where I stand with Star Wars. I'm super excited to see Episode 9. That's about it. Other than that, like, I don't want to kill anybody. I'm not super like, I'll see Solo eventually. But other than that, Jesus Christ, people need to get a life. Anyways, I did not get to see Incredibles 2, Chris. Sad about it. The reason being, I think I kind of mentioned this last week, I want to see the first one again. I didn't get around to seeing the first one again. I've been kind of busy. I heard the second one's pretty dang good, though.
It is. Real quick, like all Pixar movies, had a short in front of it.
I'm more interested in that. I've heard about this.
Bao. It's about a Chinese evidently Chinese Canadian woman who her husband goes off to work and she's making dumplings, and she's, the whole thing is that she's sad that she's lost her son. Not lost, but like her son has grown up and moved on and is no longer the little
boy.
So it like spends this time going through her past history with him, and it's a really, it's a lovely little short. I loved it. I think the animation always is top notch, but it's like this nice little touching short. So
I heard it's one of their best shorts.
I really liked it. Yeah. The Incredibles 2, on the other hand, not a tearjerker. it is a damn fun superhero family movie. Mrs. Incredible, Elastigirl, she kind of takes the, they do a gender swap basically, where it's a lot of the same, it's kind of the same setup as the first one, where superheroes still banned in the world. In fact, they've closed down the agency that, that hides them. And it picks up right where the end of the first one happens. So at the end of the first one, the mole guy, drawing a blank on his name, but
I have no idea. It's been so long. I don't remember it at all.
Like at the very end, like after Dax track meet, they go out to the parking lot, and the Underminer, that's what it is, he comes out of the ground. He's like, I'm the Underminer, and they head off to like fight him. So it picks up right when that's happening at that fight, and they destroy the city. The Incredible family gets, you know, in trouble for doing what they're doing, and superheroes are again on the shit list. And a rich person approaches the Parr family, and in this case, Elastigirl, and tells her, hey, we want to bring superheroes back. You're our best shot. We're going to like PR the shit out of this. You're going to wear a camera on your suit. So it's basically like a suit cam, like cops wear. And we're going to broadcast that out, showing what you're doing for everybody. And Mr. Incredible is left stuck with the kids. And it's this fun gender swap where, you know, Elastigirl gets to go be the hero, and Mr. Incredible has to play Mr. Mom and deal with his like very emotional teenage daughter and his son not, you know, really kind of understanding like the school stuff, and the baby while coming to her power, his powers, Jack's a boy. You know, the baby's starting to have powers, and which they didn't realize before, and Frozone's in it, and they bring everybody back, and it's like the action's fun. I had a smile on my face the entire time. They bring back all the characters you kind of love except Syndrome. They all have great lines. They all have pretty good, like, character, like every character kind of gets a moment to shine in the spotlight. Jack steals the fucking show. He's hysterical, especially his interactions with this raccoon that he runs into. It's just it's a fucking fun movie. I think it's the most fun I've had at the movies this year.
Wow,
it's a blast.
Now look, if I don't remember, like, I do not remember The Incredible. I remember I really liked it. I saw it once, and I don't remember anything else. Would you recommend I watch The Incredibles before I go see The Incredibles 2?
I didn't rewatch The Incredibles. I basically know what happens there. Like, Mr. Incredible gets approached by a secret rich guy on an island, and he's going to go be a superhero again, and shit goes bad, like, until they end up fighting Syndrome in the city. It's, if you remember that much, I think you're probably fine.
I don't, like, I'm telling you, I remember.
So you don't remember any of it.
And I heard it, like, you know, like you were kind of saying too, it like picks up it right does. At the end of the first one, so it might be a good idea to see it again.
Yeah, maybe.
Bring up.
I mean, it does pick up like right at the end of The Incredibles 1. Like it's a continuation. The entire, film takes place within like a week or two of the end of The Incredibles, so.
Other than that, I'm sure I'll like it. I don't really have many other questions, except I did hear that, like, and you touched on it too, like that action scenes in it are like really cool.
Yeah, there's some really cool action. I think, I mean, the animation is spectacular. Like 14 years does all, like I think if you sit down and watch The Incredibles, it probably still looks great. As I said, I didn't rewatch it. But you're gonna go into this and like there's just so much more that they do with the animation and backgrounds and everything is just more detailed this time around, so.
All right. I'm sad I didn't get to see it so that we couldn't have like a more in-depth review of it. But I mean, it's Pixar. It's incredible. It's gonna be good. I know I'm gonna like it. What's your score, Chris?
It's my second five of the year, so
Nice,
yeah.
nice, nice. Oh, I do remember what your first five was. That's something we're gonna talk about when we talk about our best movies of the year so far in a couple weeks, but. I think I overrated a certain other movie that got a five.
It's fine.
So from the heights of The Incredibles 2, we're now about to wallow in some filth. And that is a film called Red Sparrow, which you and I both got to see.
Yeah.
I'm sorry if you didn't like it, because I did tell you to check it out, but this is basically like a spy thriller starring Jennifer Lawrence as like this Russian fuck spy.
Yeah. Literally.
And and a whole bunch of spy games between her and the Americans, basically. And the basic setup is she lives in Russia. She was going to be a dancer, but she gets injured, and then her uncle, who works for the Russian government, KGB, whatever, offers her a job, and she gets sent to whore school. And that's not my words; that's her words
Her
in the
words,
movie.
yeah.
And the most awkward half hour of movie I've ever seen follows, where she's learning how to like weaponize her sexuality, and yeah, just some really fucking bizarre scenes where like there's a whole classroom being led by this old lady who's like telling them how to use like how to fuck and like do this, like blow somebody in front of the class and do this in front of the class. Fucking weird. Look, this movie got trashed by critics. I think, I mean, at least the critics I listened to did not like it. A lot of them kind of noted it as being misogynistic because of how, like, the sexual violence that's brought upon Jennifer Lawrence through a lot of this. And look, like, I'm not going to argue with any of this. The movie is dumb, it's trashy, it's misogynistic, and I kind of had a fun time with it. I was into, like, it takes a while to get going, but I was like into the twists and turns of it. You know what I mean? Like,
And
oh,
there's a good amount of them too.
yeah, like who, and I'm sure, they do this with like a lot of spy movies. I haven't seen a ton of them, but it's all like, whose side is she really on? Is she playing the Russians or is she playing the Americans? Is she like a double agent, triple agent? Like, what's going on here? You know what I mean? Like, you never. Like that's the kind of the fun of a spy movie is you never know who's playing who and whose side people are really on, and that's I mean I got into it. I'll be honest, like, and there's so many things I can point to that are wrong with this movie. Like it's 2 hours and over 2 hours long. It's like
It's 2 hours and 20 minutes long. It's long. It's a long movie.
I didn't really feel it though. Honestly, I don't know about you, but like. I'll sit back here for a second and let you what do you think?
So there are bits of it that I feel are fantastic. Like, the totally smutty, as you said, but fun. Like, it is a fun back and forth, you know, mystery thriller type spy thing. But there are just swaths of like stuff that I was like, this is dull. Like,
yeah,
I feel that the film, I don't know if it would have changed anybody's opinion of the content, but I think if they had tightened up some of the editing and gotten rid of some bullshit in there, they could have trimmed this down maybe 20 minutes, 30 minutes and made it a tighter, faster paced film. But
yeah,
that said, I like, once it gets going, you don't ever really know Dominica, Jennifer Lawrence's character. You don't ever really know where she stands. You think like you're starting, and then she does something else that, like, well, I'm not sure now. Like,
yeah, like
who is she playing? Whose side is she on? Like,
that's what I liked about it. That's what I, you know.
And the ending, I felt the ending was great. Like, it was super satisfying. Like, where she finally gets her due and her revenge on,
yeah, but like,
it's so dumb.
It's so stupid. Like, this, are you talking about like, the handoff?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That handoff scene, I was like, would this ever happen like this in real life at all? Like, yeah, like, what the fuck was that?
You're on a fucking airfield in Budapest.
And you're gonna cross this line, and then once you cross the line, then we're gonna start shooting people.
Right.
And then the whole like way she played people, like, I mean, look, dude, I'm saying it's fucking stupid, but like, that's what I love. Like, I loved that it was stupid and trashy and like, but still like. And the best part is, it's stupid, it's trashy, it's overlong, all these things. Like, there's so many things I'm pointing to that I should be giving it a bad review, including this. The best part is, it's all of these things, and the movie is so goddamn serious. Like, it thinks it's, like, the next fucking, like, serious fucking thriller. Like,
oh, yeah.
It's just so ridiculous. So that's like, I mean, I'm not saying I loved it, but like, it was kind of my jam. Like, I was just sitting there going like logically, like the logic part of my brain was going, this is like fucking stupid. And then the other part of my brain is going like, this is fun.
Yeah. I'm totally there with you, because it is like, just from a perspective of watching it and analyzing it going, this is terrible. Like, her accent as a Russian is awful. Everybody's accent as a Russian so is bad. Terrible in this movie. Like, nobody is believable as Russian. None of it. None of it. Like, I think Joel Edgerton, when he speaks Russian to her, has a better understanding of Russian. And he's the American spy.
Yeah, it's just, it was just, like, the right, like, wavelength of stupid for me. I don't know. I'm giving it 3 stars, but I'm also giving it, like, a definite recommend if, you know, those things aren't going to turn you off. And I think another part of it, too, is, like, you know, I hate to be the guy that says it, but, like, dude, I love Jennifer Lawrence. She's fucking hot as fuck. So, like, to see her like being a sex spy, I enjoyed.
This is basically like the Black Widow movie we're never gonna get. So,
you know what? It just popped in my head. It reminded me of the kind of movies you'd sometimes get in the early 90s, like Basic Instinct, where it's just like,
sure.
You know, that wasn't a spy movie, but it's just like.
That type
we're gonna have some fucking in this, and there's gonna be some killing, and it's gonna be sexist and stupid, and it's gonna pretend it's so serious. Like, I don't know. Like, I enjoyed it for what it was. It's a recommend, 3 stars. What about you?
That's right where I'm at too. It's a 3-star movie all the way through. But if you can get past like the length. And maybe the slow kind of boring first 20 or 25 minutes before she kind of goes ape shit.
That's how I thought like the first 25 minutes or so were pretty like slow, even though there was like rape and shit happening, like those things, like that part was kind of a turnoff too, when she get like when
Yeah, I
she gets
was not big
but,
one.
dude,
I
but
mean,
once he
never
gets to
had.
horse school,
Oh, the horse school thing is insane.
dude, horse school is a see it to believe it, because I cannot believe that was in a fucking movie. Like the part where she gets in front of the class and she gets Spread Eagle on the fucking desk and she's like, come on, come fuck me. This fucking kid.
Right.
Like, oh my God, dude.
It just like verbally berating him like at the same time. So yeah, that was it's fucking
Dude.
insane, but
Yeah, just for that, the horror school sequence, it's a recommend. You also got to see, what was the other one that you got to see?
Pacific Rim Uprising. So you want to talk about like garbagey, trashy, but kind of fun movies? That's what this is. This is like it's a fucking Saturday morning cartoon. John Boyega just like going off, like he's just not giving a shit, just all over the top. Story's stupid, but I also think if people go back and watch the original Pacific Rim, they're gonna realize that story's fucking stupid too. It's a movie about giant fucking robots fighting giant fucking monsters. It's dumb. It's really dumb, but like once they start beating the shit out of each other, it's pretty enjoyable. John Boyega is kind of a joy to watch. That guy should get more roles. Like, I know he's kind of been locked into Star Wars recently, but
He's been in some of my favorite shit though. Like he was in what the fuck was that British alien movie?
Attack the Block, yeah.
Yes, he was in that. I think he was in The Wire.
Was he in
The
the water?
dude's I think he was, yeah. I mean, I'll double check that at some. I should probably do that live so I don't sound like a total idiot. But I'm pretty sure he was in The Wire. Wait, maybe I'm wrong. Never mind, I'll take that back. I don't see
Okay.
it, but he's in the Attack the Block at the very least, and yeah, like he's got a good presence, I think. I don't know why I was picturing him in The Wire.
I mean, yeah,
I'm mixing him up with someone else then.
he has a fun presence, like just on screen, like really fun to watch in this, and he works well with the other ones. It's mostly like younger people, younger kids in this, but it's fun. It's really, really dumb, and it's not good at all. But it doesn't take itself nearly as seriously as the original Pacific Rim did, which to Guillermo del Toro's film's credit, that was one of the joys of that film, was that it took this like ridiculous material seriously.
Sometimes that just works, man, as we were
Yeah.
just talking about.
And this just goes the other way with it. It's like a fucking live action Power Rangers like TV episode. It's really stupid. They say really dumb things, but I had a lot of fun with it. Like, so I'm gonna go with a 3. It's probably not gonna be everybody's cup of tea, but I enjoy it. Like, maybe I was just up for something stupid and fun, with everything that's been going on in the world. So,
Yeah, for sure.
but it clicked, like it hit the right notes.
I have not checked that series out yet, and I should because I like Del Toro, so I should check out the first one, and sure I would enjoy the second one too. But one day there's so much to catch up on.
Yeah.
My last film for this week is one that is quickly fading from my memory, and that is a film called Thoroughbreds. It's a directorial debut from someone named Corey Finley, written and directed by if you look at the poster, it says Heathers meets American Psycho, and that's kind of the vibe they're going for. It's these two rich high school girls. They kind of feed off of each other. I think they both have like sociopathic tendencies, and they kind of feed off each other in that way. Like, it starts off like this one girl, this rich girl played by Anya Taylor-Joy. She starts tutoring this other girl who used to be her friend when they were like really little. And it's kind of like a thing where she's like trying to be nice to this other girl because her fucking horse died or some bullshit. Anyways, so it's like two old friends. They're like kind of hanging out again. And the one friend that who is like gone through this tragedy, she's like really dark. And she talks about how she has no feelings and she can do this and this and that. And like her personality kind of rubs off on our main character's personality. And then, like, Anya Taylor-Joy kind of, like, inspired by her friend's sociopathic tendencies is like, let's kill my fucking stepdad. That's kind of what, like, the plot of the film is. But, like, this is an example of one of those movies that is kind of an art house movie that's not very good, I think. Like, it's just, like, it's trying to do things you've seen before way fucking better. I would say the main reason to watch this is the cast. I kind of have a little crush on Anya Taylor-Joy. Who's like she's the girl from The Witch and Split. And also there's like this scumbag drug dealer guy that they like go to for help with certain things. They like try to hire him to do the job, and that's played by Anton Yelchin, who is it's in his last film role. He's playing kind of against type. Like, I don't think I've ever seen him play a character like this. And it really made me miss him. I was like, God damn it, dude. This guy would have been something, you know? And I think Olivia Cooke is good too. I don't know what else I've seen her in. I think I've seen her in some stuff.
She was she played Samantha and Artemis in Ready Player One.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, it's just the stepdad who they want to kill in this. It's like he's an asshole, but they never really like cross that threshold or like get over that hump of like, oh, they should really kill this motherfucker. He's just kind of a dick. But she's living in his big ass mansion, so like I don't know, fucking wait a year and go to fucking college or whatever the fuck. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's that guy's house. Like, yeah, he has certain rules and he doesn't like certain this and that. Like he's never comes off. Yeah, he comes off as kind of like a smug prick, but it's like, so? Like, you're gonna kill him because of that? Like, he's not like beating them or trying to like rape them or like, you know what I mean? Like, there's
Right.
no, they don't give you that, like, oh, this motherfucker needs to die. It's all kind of build up to this bullshit that like when the big stuff happens off screen, and I'm just like, why? Like, ooh, what an interesting choice. You didn't show us what was going on. I don't know. Like I said, I've already forgot most of it. I will probably like a year from now, I won't be able to tell you much about it at all. I'd say check it out for the cast, but other than that. It's not going to make a huge impression on you. I have seen some of film Twitter say this is like their favorite movie of the year. I don't see that. I don't understand. At the very least, it's short. It's an hour and a half. I'm gonna give it 3 stars, but like there's like a gulf of difference between my 3-star review of Red Sparrow, which I had a lot of fun with, and this where I'm like, it's just barely there, you know, like.
It's like 3 stars the other way.
Yeah, like three. I think the 3-star category is like the widest category in the 3s. It's like I think a lot of movies fall in, if you're doing a 5-star scale, I think a lot of movies fall in a 3-star category. And there's ones that you kind of like really appreciate despite their
Oh, yeah.
faults, like Red
Yeah, it's
Sparrow.
like this is a bad movie, but fun and like for a variety of reasons. And this is a, probably a well-made movie, but not interesting and
Yeah.
dull.
So I don't know. Give it a shot if you like Anya Taylor-Joy, or you want to see, Anton Yelchin give his last performance. I think other than that, it's a pretty easy skip. Like, there's so many better examples of this type of movie. In fact, a great one, I would argue, recently, kind of in the same field, but much, 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 much better is Better Watch Out. So yeah, I think we'll leave it at that this week. Chris, do you have anything lined up for sure for next week?
For sure, I will have the Lazarus effect if we get to it,
Yeah.
because but I'm going to try and see Jurassic World
Oh boy.
two. Is that two? It's a
Yeah, but Fallen Kingdom.
Fallen Kingdom. Yes, the Jurassic World that doesn't really take place on the island. It's going to take place like in the mainland again. So I don't know. Those movies are dumb fun. So.
I liked the last one, and I know a lot of people hate
Yeah.
it, so I don't know. I don't know what to think, but what's funny is we've talked about this before. Like, I've never been huge into that series, so I have actually never seen part two or three.
And that's probably better.
Hey, but you know what? Lucky for me, they're all coming to Netflix, so I'm gonna check them out
All
as they
right.
come. They come in July. I don't know if it's July 1st or like sometime early July. I'm gonna check out two and three. I've heard so many like weird things about two and three. I'm just like, I gotta see them.
I personally hate two,
Yeah.
but I kind of like three, but I liked four, and I know people kind of hate four, so whatever.
I mean, there were things I remember. This is what only a couple years ago. I think we reviewed it.
Yeah.
What I remember about Jurassic World is there were things about it right away that I did not like. I did not like how they treated the woman character in it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like so glaringly obvious, like that I don't know how they allowed that to happen. But like, just generally, I thought it was like fucking wild and fun. Like, it was kind of what you want. Like, when you go to see a movie about like dinosaurs killing people, it was kind of like what you wanted out of it. So yeah, I don't know.
Exactly that. That's like I wanted to see giant dinosaurs
Like
on
shit went
screen.
crazy.
But destroying shit, chasing people, eating people. It's dumb. It's really dumb. They trained velociraptors to like listen to people, but it was fun. Like I could totally get behind Jurassic World.
For next week though, I will have the latest Steven Soderbergh film, Unsane,
I'm gonna try and watch
and
that too.
it's we'll talk about it next week. There's also I'm going to see the one of your worst films of the year, Death Wish 2018,
All right.
and I'll possibly see Incredibles 2, so we'll talk about that maybe a little bit more. And we'll see, but there's a few things that you can look forward to there.
Right.
I'm actually kind of looking forward to Death Wish, not because I think it's gonna be good, but sometimes I like to punish myself, man. Anyways, we'll be back with those and more for next week. Movie dudes.
Dudes. Do 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 do.